With that, I will start out. This is Mark Lober, if you hadn't met him, and he'll walk us through his presentation.
Well, as always, I am honored to be here for you guys and to take you through the information. I'm going to run through, as David said, I'm going to run through the PowerPoint. I think I can get to probably 70% of the questions last week. There are a couple of dates on here. I will inform you they're incorrect, and I'll give you the correct dates so you can write them down. But in terms of eligibility for the early out, you know that it's 45 years of age and 15 years of company seniority, not credited service, but company seniority. The window to enroll closes on the 25th of September at midnight. If you have signed up on the 25th, you have the next 5 days to unenroll, but you have to write a letter and hand that to your supervisor. To the extent that you have not signed up by the 25th, you will not be able to get in. So you can get in, but you can't, excuse me, you can get out, but you can't get in after the 25th, okay? And beyond the 30th, you can't get out. So they give you 5 additional days to get out, all right? American Airlines has affirmed the pension plan, which means it is not going to the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corp. And it was frozen as the it'll be frozen as the date of the signing. Actually, you are accruing credited service, I believe, until the end of this month. Okay, so as of the end of this month, not 11/29 of 2011. You have been, your pension has been growing over the last year, okay, since we filed bankruptcy. So did everybody, who, are you, were you familiar with that? Okay, some of you weren't there. So until the 31st is when it will be, what did I say? September, I'm sorry, October 31st, yeah, October 31st, yeah, thank you. Disregard this, so because the contract was signed, or the judge signed off on everything when? The 12th of September. So that is the date of signing. The majority of the benefits that are there and the changes that are going to be occurring are going to be as effective November 1. Just FYI, we're on retainer paid by the local to serve you. So really, your union dues are paying for this service. The big question right up front is, can you draw unemployment? And what's the answer? If you take the early out, are you eligible to draw the unemployment? How many of you say no? How many of you say yes? The yeas have it. Okay. We have an opinion letter from Frazier, and Hickman, and they have a copy of it over at the Union Hall. Effectively speaking, under Oklahoma statute, according to the Frazier, and Hickman, as well as according to the Oklahoma Unemployment Commission, it is sort of like an inverse, what do they call it, an inverse seniority layoff. The fact that you are stepping, the fact that if you sign up for the early out, who signs up for the early out, or the, and if you go out because you have to have 15 years of credited service or more, it's those with higher credited service, or excuse me, company seniority. As a result of that that company seniority, you're saving a job of someone with less seniority. So you're in a sense stepping into their shoes and receiving their unemployment. So it's an inverse seniority layoff. That's the rationale for the legal position that you can take the early out and still be eligible to commence or receive unemployment benefits, okay? The Oklahoma Unemployment Commission came in and spoke to the union leadership, and they've affirmed the position. On American Airlines' website, they do say that they will challenge it. But it is subject to state law and state interpretation. So the Oklahoma Unemployment Commission has already taken the position that American, if you challenge it, you lose. That's what they're saying. Now, it doesn't mean, I mean, I guess there's always a caveat, right? So, but I would say that according to Frazier and Hickman, the union's law firm, they feel very comfortable that you can commence the unemployment benefits to the extent that you take the stand instead or the early out. So, yes. Can you draw unemployment and your pension at the same time? Well, the answer is yes, but your unemployment benefit is reduced by the amount of your pension. So I don't know. I think unemployment's around 360 or 380 a maximum a week, which is what the majority of you, if not all of you, would qualify for to the extent that you applied for unemployment. And so let's just say it's $300 a week, just to make the math easy. Let's say $1,200 for unemployment. If you were drawing $1,200 from unemployment, and let's say your pension was $1,500, how much of your unemployment would you receive? Zero. Yeah. So if unemployment's $1,200 and your pension's $1,500, remember, they're going to net them. So if they net them, your pension is greater than unemployment, so you'd receive all of your pension but none of the unemployment benefit. Just in terms of an overview, what do we do to help you guys in terms of this area? What we're doing is we're helping you make these financial decisions and creating sort of like a picture, a financial picture, before you have to make the decisions. And so even though the 25th is the deadline, they're saying, what, December, February, May, and September will be the dates where the layoffs will begin occurring. So we're going to have a lot of time in there to be able to sit down with you, run the numbers, look at your pension, all these other things. We'll help you understand your pension estimate and select a pension benefit. I mean, you've got the single life, you've got joint and survivor 50, 66, two-thirds, 75%, 100%. You got the 10-year certain, the 15-year certain, 20-year certain. To the extent that we emerge from bankruptcy and you are still an active employee, the leveling option comes back online as a way to draw monies from your pension. Did you hear that? So that you know what I'm talking about, the bridge to Social Security age 62 or 66? I'll answer that question, yeah. Well, I mean, in other words, right now the leveling option is not permitted. Once we come out of bankruptcy, the leveling option will become available again. Are those FAQs that they just put out? Yeah, you're eligible. The question is, what age are you eligible to commence your pension? Well, what age are you eligible to commence your pension? 55. So at age 55, with 15 years accredited service, you can commence your pension. What will happen is you'll be able to go online, run your new pension options, and you'll see the leveling option will be one of the new options, or not one of the new. It will be reinstated after we come out of bankruptcy. Level income option. This annuity. Okay, well, that's just saying that we have a level income option under the plan document, which is what we have. The thing is, we have it, but we're not allowed to exercise it because we're in bankruptcy. So the fact that they're reinstating what that is a reinstatement of the summary plan document of the pension plan for the TWU. And in there, it states that one of the pension options that you have is the leveling option, which means here's the way the leveling option works. Let's say that I'm 55 and I'm entitled to draw $1,000 a month from my pension. And disregard the fact that you're married for a second. Let's just assume it's single life only. I'm single, I turn on my pension, and it's for my life only at age 55. And let's say it's $1,000 a month. And I said, well, gee whiz, $1,000 a month is not enough to break the nut at the house. I need more income. So what they do is the plan permits you to take accelerated income from your pension from 55, assuming that's when I commence my pension, to age 62. Disregard 66 for a moment. So from 55 to 62, I don't draw $1,000 a month. I draw $2,000 a month. So what did I just do? I just drew an extra $1,000 a month from 55 to 62. Well, if I have this amount of money in my pension plan, it doesn't change at all if I take this is the amount of money that I have in my pension, period. If I take additional money out of my pension from 55 to 62, have I drawn the pension account down quicker? So what happens is when I turn 62, there's less in there. So my pension drops. Let's say it dropped from 1,000 to 1,500. Or excuse me, from 1,000 to 500. Okay? So now all of a sudden I was getting 2,000 and now it dropped all the way down to 1,000 or to 500. So what do I do to make up the income? I turn on my Social Security. And let's say Social Security is 1,500. So I went from 2,000 to 500 back up to 2,000. In order to get there, I had to take extra money out of the pension from 55 to 62. So there was less money in to last the rest of my life. Make sense? So that's the reason why the concept is called leveling. I took more money out from 55 to 62. So that would help a lot of guys. But here's the danger of that. It drops off. Okay? So you've got to use that money wisely in selecting that option. So too much information? Or is it just 3:30 in the afternoon? So, okay. We'll help you understand your pension and select the best plan that works for you and your own individual situation. We'll understand the retiree medical, and this is probably the biggest decision as it relates to the early out decision. I mean, guys, we got to look at, is that working? We got to look at the pre-Medicare prior to age. What age are you eligible to turn on Medicare? 65. So we're talking about pre-Medicare age, at Medicare eligibility. What about spousal benefits? You may be eligible for Medicare prior to your spouse. Your spouse may be eligible for Medicare prior to you. And then what if you have dependents, special needs situations? So, I mean, there's a whole host of issues that are happening with respect to the health insurance. We'll help you understand your Social Security, how much of it is going to be taxable. What about working and drawing Social Security? What about drawing Social Security and pension? I mean, a lot of people have a lot of those questions and stuff like that. So understand the effects of inflation upon your pension and Social Security. We'll minimize estimate your taxes on the early out as well as your pension going forward, Social Security. We'll address issues on your 401k. For example, what if you have a loan? What's the best way to handle the loan? Should I default it? Should I go ahead and pay it off? Should I go ahead and make arrangements to continue payments? There's a 60-day freeze on your pension after your last day worked, which means you can't get to some of those dollars for the first 60 days. We'll show you how to avoid the 10% penalty on early withdrawals from your 401k to the extent that you need to access those dollars prior to 59 and a half. Allocation issues, where should you be allocated? We'll talk about how to draw income from it. Talk about the different life insurance benefit options that you have, and how to tie that back into your pension and your personal family situation. We also help in resolving issues with the vendors and American Airlines, or the American Airlines benefits and the vendors on your behalf. We help out in that area. As well as if you were to pass away as the employee, we're available for the surviving spouse to help them go ahead and collect benefits and address issues that happen after an employee passes away, as well as with dependents and helping them in the situation as well. So I guess my point is that, you know, we're here for you. Your union dollars are paying for this, and the union wants you to be aware of it. So when can you commence your pension? What age? 55. How many years of credited service must you have? 15. 60 if you're 10 years of credited service. 60 if you have more than 10, but less than 15 years. And 65 if you're less than 10 years of credit. Actually, that should be 62 if less than 10 years of credited service. Let me jump in and rather than going, well, I guess I will say this. If you are younger than 50, what happens to your retiree medical benefits? They're gone, and you're never eligible to participate. If you're younger than 50, what happens to your travel? It's gone, and you're not eligible. However, you are given what? Everybody's given 18 months. If you have perfect attendance, you're given an additional 6 months to get you out to 24 months, or basically 2 years. After that, then the flight privileges would be terminated. That's if you're younger than age 50. If you're 50 to 55, it's called the 50-55 rule. You probably have heard that. And effectively speaking, that means that when you, if you're at least age 50, but younger than age 55, you're eligible for all of your retiree medical benefits when at the age in which you become eligible to commence your pension, as it relates to age 55 with 15 years accredited service. You're also eligible for the retiree medical, and you would also be eligible for flight privileges at age 55. If you're 55 years of age and older, you're going to be eligible for retiree medical. You're going to be eligible for your flight benefits, and you're going to be eligible for your pension, to be able to commence your pension to the extent you meet the eligibility of credited service requirements. Credited service is, let's set it up and compare it to company seniority. Company seniority was your hire date. Credited service is the number of hours that you work a year. And so the first year that you come on board, let's say a person's got company seniority of 10 years. Under the pension, they've had perfect attendance, no layoffs. Then you would have 9 years of credited service under the pension. So company seniority minus one equals credited service under the pension. To the extent that you have an unpaid leave of absence, then that would reduce your credited service. Credited service is also used, and it's a very important number as it relates to calculating your pension benefit. Okay, you're going to want to write this down. Immediate next actions. These are things that I'm encouraging you to do as soon as possible. What I'd like you to do is request your pension packet. And there's two ways to do that. You can call the 800 number, 800-447-2000. Listen to about a minute and a half of an introductory update, or to the introduction. It's just an update on the menu as well as the bankruptcy. At the end of that, you're going to be, it'll release you to push a number in, and you'll want to push number one. After the menu queues up again, it takes about 3 or 4, 5, 6 seconds to do that, you would push number three. And what you're trying to do is to get into HR services. And if you're thinking about retiring, the second way, and we can illustrate if you're needing help, we'll illustrate this at the end. If somebody needs to know how to, who does not know how to go on to JetNet? Deanne was our guinea pig. So if you needed help, we can help you show you how to log into JetNet. So what I would recommend, in lieu of calling the 800 number, go into your JetNet account, go to benefits, go to the Benefits Service Center. Does everybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, when you get into Benefits Service Center, that'll direct you to Mercer, administers the processing the paperwork for the pension. You're going to go to the right-hand box, and it will be requesting your pension packet. Not the one that says estimating my pension, but to the one to the right of it. So when you're looking at the screen, it would be the one on the far right. You're going to click on that, and then there are two dates that you need to have in order to request your pension packet. Two specific dates. Do not, yes, sir. That's correct. If you're 50, yeah, I should qualify that. If you're 55 and older, this is what you're going to be wanting to do. And disregard this date here of 9:30. I prepared this last week prior to the 12th. So what you're going to want to do is you have to have two dates. Your last day worked. They will not, if you call in and you can't do it on the online either. You have to have your last day worked. So listen to this whole thought before you go, gee whiz, I'm in trouble here. Put in October 31st, so 10/31 of 2012. 10/31 of 2012 is your last day worked. When's your pension begin? the first of the following month. So put in 11-1 of 2012. That will then, about 2 weeks from now, you're going to get your pension packet. So you will have your pension packet in hand if you're thinking about taking that early out. And we don't have to stand in line on phone waiting to get your pension packet when about 5,000 other people are trying to get pension packets. So you will have yours in hand. Just because your pension packet has last day worked October 31st and a pension start date of November 1 does not mean you've lost your job, okay? All that does is releases your pension packet to you, and it's going to be good for 180 days from requesting your packet. Because if I look at November 1, that gives me November, December, 4 months into next year, it gets me all the way to the end of April, that the packet that you have in hand will be good. So that way you're not having to wait to get your pension packet. And you will see what your pension is going to be to the extent that you take the early out, because the pension's not going to grow past 1031. Yep. And you will also have your credited service on there as well. ASAP. I will be doing it tonight, tomorrow. You got time to do it, but I would be getting it in hand. And that way you have it available, and you can begin seeing those numbers as to what they actually are. Yeah, okay, if you've already requested it, it's okay. Because what will happen is when you get it, and once we know your last day worked, even though you used 12/31 and 1/1 of 13 as your pension start date, what we're going to do is, regardless of the date, as long as you have your pension packet, it's going to be incorrect because none of us know our last day worked right now. We'll just cross it out and initial it, and we'll put in the new date. It's just by using your assumptions, your pension packet will be slightly off. The reason why is it's going to be accruing credited service for all of November and all of December, so your pension estimate or your pension benefit under the packet that you will have received will be slightly higher than what it actually will be. 1031 is the last day of credited service accrual. Yeah, what you could do is run a new one, or you could go online and request another one. Yeah, the question is, when do we go? We go, I'm here, I think from what I've heard, it's December, February, May, and September. Okay, so the question is, to the extent that I want to go, but I need the leveling. The reason why I'm repeating questions because this is being recorded. To the extent I want to go, to the extent that I sign up and I go early before I'm age 60, before we come out of bankruptcy, then I wouldn't be able to take the leveling option, and that's correct. So, but you have to weigh that with, and you're 59, you have to weigh that with the fact that you would lose the early out package, and that. That's an individual analysis. Does it make sense? So in other words, if you wait to sign up, you're going to lose the early out to get the bridge. And you're going to be getting the bridge for 2 years, basically. So if you get an extra $1,000 a month for 2 years, that's $24,000 as compared to getting $40,000 out of the early out. Does it make sense? Well, you know if you take the early out, you know what that number is. And if you get the bridge, I mean, in other words, you're actually better off by taking the early out than you would be by bridging. If you could get both, that would be awesome. How many years of credited service? From my understanding, Deanne, what will happen is they're going to look at areas of critical response of operational needs of the company, depending upon where you are. If there are a number of people leaving in your area, those with higher seniority will be given the choice to either go early or later. So you could sign up, get the money, and say you want to be the last one to leave. To the extent that it works out. No guarantee, but it could work out that way. Okay, the comment there is, the reason why you want to do the leveling plan is for the insurance. Health insurance and the leveling are two different issues. Oh, you're talking about the extra income to pay for the health insurance. Oh, well, that's where, unfortunately, a lot of the early outs may be used for purchasing health insurance. And I'll talk about some of the options that we have with respect to the health insurance here in a couple of minutes. There are a number of options that we do have, and the union's been pretty proactive in trying to solve some of those issues. I'll tell you that in a second. So the question is, on the earliest out, what's the earliest that we're going to be able to leave? December of 2012. And what I understand with the base closure, I'm assuming it's going to be December 15th or something around that date, I would imagine. So I would assume sometime in December. These are issues that would be common to anyone accepting the early out. There are four actions that are required for you to accept the early out and your pension. or the stand instead. Okay. Are you familiar with going in and looking at your what is available to you? Have you seen the early out? Yeah, it's policies and procedures tab. So you log in, go across the horizontal bar towards the almost at the top of the page. And when you come across policies and procedures, click on that, and then you'll see a link. Yeah, back on the back, you'll see there's a form, or you should have received it when you got in. Yeah, there's a step by step on how to sign up for the early out. Does anybody not have that? If you don't, then you can get it back at the door. Do I need to go through that? But there are four actions required in order to process the early out and the pension. First of all, you have to go to JetNet and sign up for the early out, and you want to request your packet for that we just talked about previously. Thirdly, you want to complete that packet, your pension packet. You do not have to do anything more on the early out, other than the fact that I would recommend that you print out a copy of your early out letter that you've agreed to. We will help everybody complete the retirement pension. I think it's 20-some pages long. A lot of it's just a lot of language, but it's not too difficult when you open it up and go through it. But we will go through that with you and help you complete your retirement packet. The other thing we were very, very fortunate here in Tulsa for all these years up until the bankruptcy, or most recently, to have this PTR, payroll transaction record or payroll transaction request. It's known as both. The PTR, you must have actually three different PTRs, one for your last day worked. Well, I guess that's the early out, so it'll be two. It'll be the early out PTR, and then you must have a pension or a retirement PTR. And so you'll have to call HR and request that one. Okay? So it's calling that 800 number again to request that PTR. Because your pension will not start just because you send in the pension packet. Okay? You have to request that PTR. We'll help you again in selecting your pension option and completing your retirement packet. And again, it's pretty much, don't listen to what your neighbor's doing unless you know that his wife's your age and his kids are your age and everybody has the same health insurance and expenses and house payment and car payment and you eat at the same restaurant and go to the same grocery store because it's that unique. We'll assist you in choosing your health insurance plan. What are the different options that you have there? If you're, if you're going to be filling out the pension packet and starting your pension, one of the meetings last week, one guy said, do I need to bring all my divorce decrees? And the answer is, if you were divorced while at American, even if they have them on file, the answer is yes. Okay, we've got to reproduce those and put them with that pension packet. Otherwise, it'll just continue to delay your pension. Due to the possibility, that's in quotes and italicized, due to the possibility of receiving the company's matching portion of the pre-funding, this is somewhat irrelevant because you're going to be receiving your pre-funding within the next 120 days anyway. So as of the date of signing, within the next 120 days, most of you, if you've been here 20 years plus, the majority of you will probably have about $8,000 in your pre-funding account. Some of you could have substantially higher than that because you came in later. You could have 10, 12. I had somebody in the other day that has $28,000 into their pre-funding account, but they were paying more than $7.83 a paycheck. So they're paying more like, I think, $100 and some a paycheck. So there's the possibility that at the conclusion of the 11-14 process that the company matching portion of pre-funding would be returned. Wouldn't count on it, but there's a very strong chance that would happen. All of the monies that you paid in, all of the monies that the company has paid in, and the investment performance on those dollars are held in a trust account called a VEBA, a Voluntary Employee Benefit Association plan. Those are regulated. Those dollars are invested. Until they conclude the 11-14 process, they will not know how much to disperse back to the employees from that plant. It cannot be used for the management. It has to be used for employees. So what they determined to do with those dollars is still outstanding. The question is, when did pre-funding start? And the answer is 1990. There was a link on JetNet that said 331 of 12, that you had approximately 8,000 of your contribution. Okay. The investment. Okay, so the question is, if you take $7.83 times, how many times do you get paid a year? 26. Two of those, though, there's no pre-funding. So you only put in 24 months a year. So if you take $7.83 times 24 times, what is that, 22 years? That comes up to, I don't know, $6,000 and some $4,300. And that doesn't add up to $8,000. So where's the extra money come from? It's called the investment performance. And then the second question is the amount of money above what you paid in taxable? And the answer is yes. Okay, so if you take the early out and the judge concludes the 1114 process, after the 1114 process, does the company have to distribute those funds? If you take the early out, the judge hasn't decided what to do with the employer's portion of the pre-funding, will you lose the opportunity to get the pre-funding because you've already taken the early out? And the answer is no. You are still, if you take the early out, you're still eligible for the employee's portion of the pre-funding. But if you go into, well, you're not going to go into retiree medical. Right, yeah. If you take the early out and you no longer are pre-funding, you are eligible for the employer's portion of the pre-funding account to the extent that at the conclusion of the 1114 process. You are not waiving your ability to receive the employee's portion of the pre-funding money to the extent that you take the early out. The only way in which you would forfeit that, if you resign from the company, you would not be eligible for the employer's portion. But you would still be eligible for yours, but I don't, okay, so resignation, you forfeit the company portion. Resignation would be different than accepting a voluntary early out, because it's a voluntary resignation. Maybe that's what's going on. Oh, yeah, okay, yes. We've got people right now that are, okay, I got you. Yeah, we've got people right now that are actually separating from the company, and because they're separating from the company right now, they will not be eligible for the early out. If you retire, you will. And if you take the early out or the stand instead. Well, and let me just add, I would assume also the RIF. And the RIF would, any of those scenarios, short of resignation on your own, you're going to be eligible for the employer portion to the extent that it's concluded to be refunded back to the employee. Well, not as of September 12th. It'll probably be, you're done. Yeah, it could be through October. Because everything's effective really October 31st or really November 1. So I don't know, but I'm assuming because the pay increases begin November 1, I'm assuming everything else is going to continue the way it is until October 31st. And the pay increase is retroactive actually to the date of signing. Okay, so yeah, October 31st is when it ends, yeah. When they say they're going to match the pre-funding, the employer's portion, say you have 15, well, if your portion's 15, then the company's portion would be 15 because they matched you dollar for dollar and the investment performance would be there as well. Now, it could be slightly different because of the fact that the 1114 process would be settled out later in the future and investment performance could be higher or greater than your 15. Oh, okay. And Deanne's saying that JetNet is updated your pre-funding account balance as of 8/31 of 12.
I couldn't find it myself just going to JetNet, but if you go to the TW-514 website, I had Al put the link right on the front page of the TW-514.org website. And you just click the link, you'll have to sign into JetNet, but it'll take you right to that pre-funding balance. And it's updated, I believe it was August 2012 now, instead of March. But it's on our website. I couldn't get to it just going to JetNet. I couldn't find it.
The pre-funding that the employee has put in, and the portion, okay, and the portion that comes back for the employer, if you had to file a tax form, I'm assuming it's a W-9 form, but I can't imagine that there's a W-9. Yeah, well, let's talk about the taxes then on the employer portion. How much of that's going to be taxable? Yeah, you can call J.P. Morgan as well, and they'll that's 800-345-2345 if you want to call them, and just put in your Social Security number and That'll get you to a representative. Let's talk cash flow after your last day of work. You will receive your last paycheck. It will include the early out. The early out includes your 13 weeks, your $12,500, and the $10,000 is the incentive to the extent that you're eligible. If you are in the stand instead, then you would receive the 13 weeks and the $10,000. You do not get the $12,500. In addition to the early out, you're going to be receiving your unused vacation. You are accruing your vacation as you work this year for next year. So you're going to be entitled to any of your unused vacation next year because you could borrow a week. So if you're entitled to four and you borrowed one, you'd get three. If you didn't use any, then you would have four. Plus your vacation days that you'd, and your sick days. $25, 8 hours, what do you have? You have your hours divided by eight, and then multiply times 25 will tell you how much you have in your sick bank on a dollar for a dollar amount. Yeah, 150 days max, $3,750 would be the maximum amount that would be entitled under your sick days. Pre-funding, again, will be paid out to you from the date of signing, which was September 12th, within the next 120 days. Your first pension check takes approximately 60 days to process. Let's assume that my last day worked is 12/31, and my pension starts 1/1, and I don't file my paperwork until the middle of January. When you file your paperwork, they're going to take 60 days to process it. It's going to be retroactive back to when? January 1. So you would end up getting January, February, and March's checks. So here's an example. If your last day works 12/31, pension start date 1/13, you'd receive your January pension check. On March 1, in addition, you'd receive your February and March checks. Make sense? But before that, several weeks after your last day worked, you're going to receive your early out package, okay? Which would include your vacation and sick days. And here are a couple of questions that I'm asked pretty frequently. The pension plan's underfunded approximately 20%. So if you take a look at the annual statement as of for 2011, the pension plan for TWU is about 82, 83 cents in the dollar. Will my pension be reduced? And will I receive 80% of my benefits? So if I'm entitled to $1,000 a month, will my pension only be $800 a month? Yes or no? If an employee dies and has a spouse, will they still receive a pension benefit? To the extent that you've selected a survivorship option, the answer is yes. Well, theoretically, I've had members, I've been doing this 10 or 12 years, and on occasion, like the one gentleman that's been back here 35 years. Did you know Wilbur and Orville Wright? No, okay. You can hit me afterwards, okay? and I'm assuming topped out mechanic, and I don't know, 62, older? 69? 59. Let's say that he was 65, 66, with 30-some years, his pension would be pretty much, it could be above the maximum guaranteed by the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corp. It could be slightly higher. He could take a shaving of $100 or $200 a month. So if it went to the PBGC, but we're not going to the PBGC. So I don't know of, I think maybe what happens is some of my training in law school said to say generally. Well, the PBG, I shouldn't have said that. The PBGC is off the table anyway. So let's not even get $4,500. What is it? $60,000 a year, I think, this year, something like that. It's all age-based, but let's just disregard that for an issue. Yeah, it'll never be. Your pension's not going down. It'll never be lower than what you guys see right now. You'll never see a reduction. Yeah, this is one thing that American did. This is very unusual to the good. Remember the calculation of final average salary when you calculate your pension? What they do is they take the best 48 consecutive months of the last 120 months, which would be 48 of the best months of the last 10 years. American threw that out, and they just picked the best 48 consecutive months, which would have been back in 2003, 2002, 2001, and 2000. Yeah, your pension can never go down. That is the way the plan document is written. It can, okay? So once you get your best 48 consecutive months, it'll never go below that. Make sense? So even though our salaries went down, so your pension will never, ever go down, even though the contract we signed took our salaries down, so final average salaries went down. Will the retiree medical go away? Well, let's put it this way. The retiree medical went away on when? September 12th. So that was written the evening of the 11th. What happens to the money I've paid into it? Obviously, that's the pre-funding. You're going to get that. And then what happens to the travel benefits? Obviously, that's going to depend upon your age and what you go. Let me go to the health insurance. Well, let me do this first. Do you know how to read the pension estimate? Would it be helpful if I go through to help you figure out how to read that pension estimate? Most people, okay. The pension estimate that you receive is probably going to be at least 2 pages for some of you. If the leveling option comes on, it will go to 6 pages. And so you're going to have, I think, 44 different options to choose from. But it's not that bad. But, you know, when you walk in with 6 pages of help me understand this, what you do is you want to create a little table that looks like this. And so really what you, and then what you want is down here, let's do a husband and wife. Let's do Fred and Wilma Flintstone, okay? So we have Fred and Wilma Flintstone. Obviously, Fred is married. Let's take a look at what would happen to the employee if he selects the single life only, okay? Let's assume that he's been married 30 years. If he selects the single life only and passes away, his spouse receives zero, and obviously dependents would receive zero. So in order to provide a benefit to the surviving spouse, what must happen to the $2,000 a month benefit? It must go down. Think of your pension as a bucket of money. That pension was filled up based upon two variables: length of service, called credited service, and final average salary. Those dollars went into the pension. The longer you work, the bigger the pension. Okay? The higher, the more you make, the higher the pension. Once that bucket got filled up and you begin turning on income, to the extent that you select a joint and survivor option, the reduction from $2,000 to $1,700, that $300 a month reduction leaves enough money in the pension after you commence it, that $300 a month leaves enough money in the pension to continue a benefit of $850 to the surviving spouse, so it's 50% of what you're receiving. So that $300 reduction continues an income stream of $850 a month. Make sense? To the extent that you want to provide a greater benefit to your spouse, what must you do? Slow your income down even more. If you slow it down, for example, from $2,000 to $1,375, what do you think the next number is going to be? There you go. And obviously nothing to the dependents. What happens is when somebody passes away, an employee and or spouse pass away, whatever is left in the pension plan is allocated to the other plan participants, sort of a non-forfeiture provision. Another option that many people have, and you have to be, in fact, I was talking to somebody about this right before I came up. Let me backtrack. Do you remember the Transamerica life insurance policy? Why was that made available? To not only provide additional life insurance while you were an active employee, but it was also communicated way back when by Transamerica that that could be used so that you could take the single life option, buy the policy now, so that you would end up with $2,000 a month, but you'd buy a life insurance policy, right? So you take the $2,000 a month. Look at that right there. You take the $2,000 a month. You would use the $300 a month. Well, in this situation, the Transamerica policy was very, very cheap because it was a term policy. And so when you retired, if you passed away, you would use, let's say, for example, $275 a month rather than $300 a month up here. You'd go buy your own life insurance policy. The problem was Transamerica came back and they were going to discontinue offering the life insurance. And so the TWU went back in and renegotiated with another insurance company called US Life. And so they were able to continue some life insurance. There were many of your friends who retired lost a lot of life insurance in that scenario. The reason why is because it was the wrong type of insurance policy. It cannot be term insurance. You cannot afford term insurance to make that work. Whole life insurance is very, very expensive. It's not going to work because it'll exceed oftentimes the $275 given the amount of insurance that you need. So there's a hybrid between these two. So do not get sold by a life insurance agent. They have to understand all of your pension options. They need to know how to calculate that pension benefit. And then you must use the right type of insurance policy. And you don't use term and you don't have to use whole life. That's too expensive. You want to buy as much insurance as possible that's necessary to replace the benefit as you're comparing it, let's say, for example, to the joint and survivor 50. You're wanting to replace that benefit to your spouse. So if you were to pass away, spouse gets nothing from American, but then they would get, in this example, 100. This is an example. Everybody doesn't need to run out of here and say you need $175,000. Some of you will need more. Gentlemen here with 30-some years accredited service will need more insurance than somebody that has 15 years accredited service. Okay? But in this example, we'd need $175,000 of insurance. Generally speaking, that premium of $275, most of you, to the extent that you're pretty healthy, that's a great option. Because what happens is the life insurance must be guaranteed death benefit. It has to be a guaranteed death benefit with a guaranteed premium. The death benefit cannot go down. And the premium cannot go up. Because you don't want to be 83 having to fork out more money or reduce the death benefit when your surviving spouse is going to need something, because they're not going to get anything from American when you take this option. So the life insurance has to be there. And then when you pass away, your spouse gets $175,000 tax-free. This is truly, guys, when you look at it and say you have a contract on your head. Okay. How many of you know the story in the Bible where the king used to have a cupbearer? You know what a cupbearer is? Somebody tasted the food and the wine. So, anyway, the advantage of that is it generally will cost a little bit less for you to self-insure. Your spouse gets a lump check, tax-free lump sum, versus an income stream. So if they need more than $850 a month, they can take it from the $175. So the $175 is invested to produce the $850 a month. If they need some of that, they can get it. The big advantage is, as well, whatever's left can go to your children versus back into the pension plan for the other employees. It's called pension maximization. It's a really great strategy. But you got to use the right. We'll help you run through all those numbers and however you need to do any of that. The period certain option. Okay, the period certain option. Generally speaking, when I use that is when I have a special needs situation, or if there's a single person and they want to benefit a family member or somebody else, but there's still a reduction in the benefit. So from the single life, it's going to drop down in this example to $1,725. There is no spouse in this example because you can't select. I guess you could select the period certain, but I'm trying to illustrate it would be for somebody else. So the $1,725 would continue for the balance of the period that is certain guaranteed. So for example, if you selected a 20-year certain, or 120 months is what, or excuse me, 240 months is what it says on the pension estimate. If you selected a 240-month pension certain, it will pay for the employee's life. The employee could live 500 months. But if you die prior to the 120 months, let's say you die at 115 months, how many more months would be paid to the beneficiary? Five. Because remember, if you selected 240 months and you died at 235, there'd be five more months left over. Are you with me? But if you passed away at 241 months, how many would be paid to the beneficiary? Zero. So it will pay 240 months and no more to the beneficiary, but you cannot outlive the pension. So it can go for your life, but no more than the 240, 180, or 120 to your beneficiary. All right. Let's.
I got a question on
this. Yes, question on.
Somebody retires
and they're 60 years old.
They take the early out.
6 months later. 6 months
they
later.
They get married.
Can they
do that?
If you selected the single life, if you were not married,
right.
Well, then the answer is you can go buy life insurance, and obviously, yes.
No, I'm talking about with American, can you change your.
Oh, if you've elected. Well, let me say it this way. To the extent that you've selected the, it's irrevocable. Whatever you choose is done. If you've selected the single life, then your single life. If your spouse passes away and you selected the joint and survivor 50 and she passes away, you're stuck at that $300 reduction for the rest of your life. You cannot substitute spouses. For a lot of reasons. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let me change gears and go to the health insurance. So when we retire here in the near future, or we go out, and to the extent that you're 55 and above, you're going to be eligible to purchase from the company the retiree medical plan. There are two different plans that will be made available to you. There is the standard plan as well as the value plan. The standard plan is how much coverage? $300,000, okay? The premium on that is around, I don't have it memorized, $935, okay? To the extent that you select the value plan, it's not $300,000 of coverage, it's $1 million of coverage, and it's $1,335 for husband and wife, okay? And there are different tiers and different programs there, but the primary difference between the standard versus the value plan is the standards of PP, a regular PP. It's just like what you have right now. The value plan is an HMO plan. And so you have your gatekeeper. And you can go online and look at the different deductibles and copays. That is an option that's guaranteed that you would have available to you. Very expensive, but nonetheless, it's something to help us. Yes? $935 is a husband and wife, approximately half of that for, or it is half of that for, what do you call it, employee only. The value plan's $1 million of coverage, and it's $1,330-ish. The question, there's no guarantees to go up. There is a guarantee. You can probably count on it going up. I mean, it generally goes up. That's a good question. What's the maximum age that you can enroll in the plan? To the extent that you are younger than age 65, you would be eligible to participate in the retiree medical. If you're older than 65, the company's talking about being making available a third-party Medicare supplement, because then you will go into Medicare. I'll talk about that in just a second. To the extent that the employee is older than the spouse, and the employee goes into Medicare, the spouse can continue the retiree medical, and you just pay half of that amount for the spouse. So you'd be at the $900, be $450, $60 a month, or the $600 and some odd dollars a month until they turn 65 or become a Medicare eligible. That's an expensive option. Another option would be to continue COBRA. COBRA is actually less expensive than either of the retiree medical options. And you can continue that for yourself, or for yourself and your spouse, or for yourself and your spouse, or spouse and dependents for 18 months. Yes, sir. The question is, to the extent that I do not elect the retiree medical now, am I eligible to go on my spouse's health insurance to the extent that she has health insurance and then come back and pick up the retiree medical later? And the answer is yes. Okay, so where was I going there? Yeah, once you opt out, you cannot get back in. You can get in, but once you opt out, you can't get back in. Because you were not in, you did not opt out. So you would be eligible to participate in the future. TWU's gone and created an exchange. And you know how you go online and you can put in, you know, for example, your make and model of your car and how far you drive, and you can submit that and you can get a bunch of quotes for automobile insurance. TWU has done the same thing. It's called an exchange, and basically you put in that information and it will go shopping for you, and it will go out to how many companies? Do you know, Deanne? How many companies are available when that shops to the exchange? I don't know. Yeah, it's like, it's more than you need. It's like, yeah, there are five or six primaries, and then you have a number of other companies. I mean, you can probably get up to 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 different companies, and Deanne said it'll pull up like 80 in her situation. So the idea is it's a way to go out there or come back and it'll prioritize, or you can go shopping, and you actually have available to you a counselor, a health insurance counselor. There's a telephone number that you can call. They're not trying to sell you anything. And they'll guide you through picking a plan. So we have the retiree medical standard, the retiree medical value plan, sometimes called Value Plus. There's also COBRA. Your spouse may have coverage. We have the healthcare exchange. There's also Sooner Care. Yep, Community Care actually has a plan as well that they're coming out with that could be pretty competitive. You also have high deductible plans where you pick up a lot of the cost, and those premiums are in the neighborhood of $300 to $500 a month for husband and wife. Another option is, there's two more options. The first one is, to the extent that Fred and Wilma Flintstone have a Fred Flintstone lawn mowing service, and you actually get paid and you actually deposit that into a checking account, you could go, and let's assume that you have a pre-existing condition. You can go from American Airlines company health insurance plan. You would obtain a certificate of credible coverage, and you would go to the Fred Flintstone Lawn Service health insurance plan. Little pricey, but you could, again, you can put together a high deductible plan regardless if there's a pre-existing condition or not. Another option is, so you see all the different options I'm trying to throw out there? Another option is, it's not really health insurance. It is a reimbursement program. How many of you attend church? Okay. If you attend church, it is, you can go online, and there are three different major companies that have been doing this for probably, I don't know, I think the one's been doing it for a little over 30-some years. And it's a fee-sharing program. So let's say, for example, we're all scattered across the country, and The cost for husband and wife is about $300 a month. You have to attend church, and the rationale is that your pastor has to sign off on, or associate pastor has to sign off on the fact that you have, that you attend. To the extent that you have a medical claim, you just tell the physician or the hospital that you're private paying, self-paid, you're self-funded, and you have a reimbursement program. You have an actual card. You might put, you know, if you have a $50,000 bill, you might give them $500, $600, or $1,000 a month, or excuse me, $1,000 up front on your credit card. You get all of the invoices, bundle them up, send them into this exchange, and what happens is they send you a check, and then you walk down 30, 60 days later, and you pay the bill. And so it's a wonderful option as well. So Samaritan Ministries, you can write it down, Samaritan Ministries is another plan that's available to you as well. Lastly, on the health insurance side, those of you, actually, let me give you two more, or three more. TRICARE, if you're military. If you are eligible for TRICARE, you're actually in a wonderful situation. I mentioned if your spouse has health insurance. The other one is VA benefits and also the Indian benefits. So we're fortunate enough to have some of those. The VA and the Indian benefits, you have to make sure that you're at a VA hospital or an Indian hospital or services where they accept that. From my understanding, and I am not a specialist on these benefits here at all, my understanding is that if you're VA and you incur expenses at another hospital or outside of the VA network, you can actually submit those claims back over to the VA and they'll reimburse them. So if you have VA, thank you for your service, and you should be entitled to those benefits. So. Well, that's a good point. VA benefits, it's only eligible to the veteran, not veteran spouse or dependents. Well, that's true, too. You'd have to be 100% disabled in order to qualify for your spouse. Yes. VA benefits, I think you had to serve 3. So the comment is that VA benefits, there's a reimbursement. You're not actually paying a premium. There's a reimbursement for in sort of like specialist or primary physician. Yes. Yeah, when do you become eligible? I think it's if you have any VA, if you are honorably discharged. Is that active or reserves? Both? And National Guard? Yes. Yeah, there's an income threshold of $33,000 or less in order to qualify. Any other general questions? Yes, sir. Signed up for the early out. 58. 26 years, 26 and a half years of company seniority or accredited service. Company seniority. And the form that was printed out. 13 weeks of severance. Yeah, David. The question is, it says there's 13 weeks minus 2 weeks, and David's answering the question. Sir, if a person's full retirement age is 66 and files for Social Security at 65, is under an earnings limitation. Okay, so the question is, to the extent that somebody retires and their full Social Security retirement age is 66 and they commence Social Security benefits at age 65, are they under the earnings limitation forever or for that 1 year? And it would be just for the 1 year. And so once you reach your full Social Security retirement age, you can have unlimited wages with no reduction in your pension benefit. Doesn't mean it's not taxable, but there's no reduction in the pension benefit. Let me go here, then there. Let me go through, and I will give you a couple scenarios here. Well, let's just say it this way. If you are 45, 15 years of company seniority, if you're station protected, system protected, you're eligible for the 13 weeks, $10,000 for the incentive, and $12,500 under the early out. The stand instead, to the extent that you are not system protected, you're going to be entitled to the 13 weeks and then the $12,500. Is that answering your question? Or excuse me, the $10,000. 10,000, is that right? Wait a second. Here, wait. I don't want to get any. If I take the early out, okay, wait a second. Here it is. Let's assume that you're 45 and you have, listen to these real quick. If you're 45, I'm system protected. I'm 45 and I have 14 years of company seniority. Am I eligible to anything? Nope, not eligible at all. Or let me go through and I'll read them out to you like this because you'll like this as well. I'm not system protected. I'm older than 45, and I have more than 15 years. And I'm RIFT. Am I eligible for the early out? Since you meet the age and the service requirement, you're eligible for the early out. You'd be entitled to the regular severance of 10. Since you're not system protected or station protected, you're not entitled to $12,500. I'm not system protected. I am 45 years of age and older. I have 17 years of company seniority as the day of the signing, and I'm RIFT. Am I eligible for the early out? You meet the age, you meet the service, you're eligible for the early out. You'd be entitled to the regular severance of 10. Since you're not system or station protected, you're not eligible for the 12.5. I'm 45 with 15-year criteria for the early out, and based at a state, here it is right here in your matrix. Let me go back here, then there. So let me reflect it back this way. Does the 12.5 go away if you're RIFT and you don't take the early out? With the restructuring agreement, it was clarified, and you do get the 12.5. So if you're RIFT, you're going to get your 13 and 12.5. All you lose is the 10 for the early out and your retirement to commence your pension. You have to have. So the question is, there's four steps. The last step is you have to request the PTR for both the early out. Actually, the early out, I think, is going to be cut automatically for you according to HR. But to commence your pension, you have to call the 800 number and get the PTR cut by them, and they'll process it for you.
When do we do that?
After your last day? Yeah, when you're ready to retire, we'll help you through that process. Is there a waiting period for drawing the unemployment? What is it, a week? And then I think you're eligible to be. Oh, that's good. Okay. Okay, is that your question? The question is, used to be. That when you withdraw, the question is there, do I have to wait to receive my unemployment benefits because I'm receiving 13 weeks under the early out? Do I have to wait for the first 13 weeks before I can apply for unemployment? Used to be that was the case, not now. And so therefore, you do not have to wait 13 weeks. You can start, I think it's a week after. Yeah, it's 1 week, yeah. Former TWA here in Tulsa for 3.5. Permanent address, Kansas. My understanding is, yeah, let's call the unemployment office, and I believe it's the state in which you work. It's where you earn it, not where you reside. You'd have to file with OCA. You know what? I'm going to plead I don't know, because if I go too far down this road, I'll get you and me in trouble. I would suggest on this side of the equation so we get it figured out. Just call down to the unemployment office, and they'll guide you through it. Here, call here locally, because my presumption is you get a file where you work, and then they'll tell you what if you move back, which you would, you'd be going back to Kansas. How do you file? Do you file back up there, or do you have to continue? Oh, this is another little comment, guys. You cannot be offered a job less than what you were making, so they can't. You know, you can't have to go to You can't be offered a job at McDonald's. And lose your unemployment benefit. You have to be comparable wage. Well, I said that you're eligible for unemployment benefits. How long? Okay, guys, 50. Wants to take the early out. I said that Fraser and Fraser, as well as the Oklahoma Unemployment Office, said that you are eligible for unemployment benefits. American Airlines reserves the right and said that they would challenge it. Yeah, American Airlines said that they would challenge it. But Oklahoma said that they're... Listen, what happens when you file an unemployment claim? You file, the company has the right to contest it. The thing is, Oklahoma's already telling us they're going to say, sorry, American. Let me go here, then here. Yeah, calculating your final average salary under your pension. In terms of calculating your pension, overtime does not calculate into your final average salary. It's base pay. And if you have premium pay, then that would be considered base. So it would be base pay only. And 280 hours is max. Let me go back here, and then here. Yeah, that's a good question. The question is, with respect to the TWU website, with the exchange is what they call it, are they requiring healthy individuals? Everything is going to be medically underwritten on that exchange. Yeah, you have to apply, fill out the application. So to the extent that there are pre-existing conditions, yeah, you want to test it out, but more than likely if you have a community care does have a health insurance plan where they do not underwrite, but it's based upon your medical information. The premiums are based upon that. Let me go back here and then here. What's going to happen is the company is going to look at operational needs, number one. After they look at operational needs, then depending upon the number of people in a particular area that are going, they'll go by seniority first. Aren't we getting warn letters here pretty soon? Yeah, the warn letters went out? What'd they say? I mean, basically, what was the contents of the warn letter? Do we have that? 55 and 15 years of company seniority or credit? Okay, so you have less than 15 years accredited service. Your pension, if you have less than 15 years, your pension would be eligible at age 60. 60 to commence pension. To the extent the warn letter, warn laws apply, this letter serves as notice that TWU representative may be affected by a job reduction as outlined below. Did everybody receive this?
It's on the website. They only have to notify us, so.
It's on the website. Here's your title 2, 3, and 4. Mm-hmm. Title 1.
Could possibly be affected.
Up to 2,330 people in Tulsa could be affected.
For Title 1, if you want to.
For
date.
Title 1. And the date would be Title System. 1. It'd be Title 1 on December 16th of 12.
Possibly.
And system-wide would be 5,400. So 2,300 local, 5,400 system-wide. On or around the 16th of 2012. Or 16th, is that what it was? December 16th, 2012. Okay, what's that? Hold up. The question is, if I'm under age 60, can I take unemployment and defer the pension because of the fact that if I commence my pension, I have a 3% penalty? And the answer is yes, and you just want to run the numbers, which is better? The pension's not getting any bigger, but if you get $1,700 a month, would you rather have $1,700 a month or $1,300 a month, even though the 3% reduction's there permanently? And you got to put this in context, 3% on $2,060, and it's for the rest of your life. But, I mean, you got to look at the number, and you can do a real quick math and say for 1 year, if I get $1,200 a month, or what is it? Let's say $1,500 a month for unemployment, $1,700 a month for pension, $200 a month times 12 months, $2,400. If I make $60 more a month, 60 into 2,400 is going to take me 40 months to break even. I would probably defer my pension and take unemployment. Yeah, well, okay. Well, let me find out. Let me do some research on it because I've not used it. Yeah. Was there a hand back here or something? Yeah, right here, and then let me come over. Currently on sick leave. Leave of absence. Okay, medical leave of absence without pay. Drawing LTD. And drawing SSDI, okay. You are eligible for the early out. Okay, well then you'd be eligible for the early out. Well, but you're on Social Security?
Yes.
If you're on Social Security, when did you receive Social Security? Well then you're easy. Call and enroll in Medicare. You're on Part A anyway. Well, you just go grab a Medicare supplement and you're done. You can shop for one on the website or just call Community Care or United Healthcare. $120 a month and you're done. Of credited service. October 2nd.
Yeah.
Are we doing a 1% in a million issue?
Of
September.
September.
You're accruing credited service to October 31st.
So
to the extent that the person has 15 years for pension. Well, actually, you're talking company seniority for the year. Are you talking about early out or are you talking about pension? Of company seniority, and you're trying to get to 15 years of credited service, you are accruing credited service to 10:31 at midnight. Yep, that's the last day that you're going to accrue credited service. After that, you will continue to accrue credited service as long as you have a job towards your commencing age 55 benefit. So how many years did you have? Well, let's assume that you could stay here till next year, until April. Theoretically, you can commence your pension then at 55. You it doesn't increase your pension, but it increases your credible, your retirement service to commence your pension. It's called retirement service. If you leave the company, you no longer accrue retirement service. If you continue to work between now and April, you will have get to your 15 years, theoretically. You would be able to commence your pension because you'd have retirement service of 15 years. Then you would lose the early out. Unless you, yes, you could put in for it and potentially put at risk, yeah. To be eligible for the early out, you have to continue to work up until December 15th for the early out to get to 15 years. With respect to retirement service, you'd have to get to your 15 years before October 31st. So the system protection date was September 24th, 1998. Stores are 2001. Thanks, Tony. Okay. Does FMLA, yeah, because that's an, yeah. Oh, it doesn't count against credited service. You're just not accruing credited service. If your unpaid leave of absence, if it's an unpaid leave of absence, and generally speaking, FMLA is an unpaid. Once you use your vacation and your sick days, then generally you're going to be on. Paid days would count, yeah. Any unpaid leave of absence, you are no longer accruing credited service. Let me go all the way back here in the back. If you're considering retirement, meet all the qualifications. I'm saying to the extent that you're thinking about it or you are. As, to the extent that you're eligible and you're thinking about it or you are, request that retirement packet. Because when you have it, it's good. If you just select that, if you get that retirement packet, you just have a piece of paper you can use for starting a fire. Doesn't mean anything. 47, 24 years. Because you're under age 50, you are not eligible for the American Airlines retiree medical, nor would you be eligible for the travel. So in other words, the value plus or the standard retiree medical, you're not eligible for that. However, you're eligible for all those other scenarios for health insurance. Because you're not eligible to commence your pension until 30, 60 days prior to getting ready to start your pension. Yep. Yeah, I believe the early out is going to be done by HR automatically, but the PTR for... No, you don't need to have it. We'll help you get the... We'll call, if you want to, we'll help you call on the PTR. Yep, you don't have to worry about that, or we'll just give you the directions on the call again at that point in time. Once you get your packet and or, you know, yes, because we're going to have a number of people that will probably be going in December. So, yeah, we'll just start getting people in on the calendar. There's several of us that are helping you on appointments. It's myself and another gentleman, Chris Jansen. So we'll be able to get everybody in. I think, you know, the numbers are large, but be patient with us. But we'll get everybody in, and we're pretty good on getting all the phone calls back. I think I'm down to all of my phone calls. I had two left coming here, and I'm sure I've got about 20 before I leave. So towards your credited service, the first year of company seniority does not count towards your credited service. If you have 35, you generally have 34, because if you were laid off, you would potentially not have accrued credited service, yes. If you want to take the early out, and you have, if you're 45 and 15 years, you're eligible for the early out. It's company seniority for the early out, not credited service. Company seniority is date of hire. So it does not subtract the year. You're eligible for the early out. If you have, in May, you had 15 years. Okay, so if you have 15 years as of last May of 2012, you're eligible for the early out, but you would have to have 15 years of credited service, which you'd have to go to May of next year to be able to commence your pension at 55. In order to commence your pension at 55, you'd have to have 15 years of credited service for the pension. You have 15 years plus of company seniority. So you're minus one for the pension. You are eligible for the early out, though. In other words, you can't get your pension. What's your age? If you're 51, you're not eligible to 60. The life insurance is... Life insurance, as long as as long as the premiums were not deducted, which generally they're not, then 100% of the death benefit under Section 101, it would be tax-free. Death benefits are tax-free. It doesn't matter. You could have 50. Well, estate taxes are different than income tax. If you had a $5,120,000 life insurance policy that was larger than that, it would be subject to estate tax. But unless you're buying a $5 million+ policy, there would be no estate tax, but it's income tax free. You have 15 years of company seniority, but you're over 60. Can you commence pension? It'd be 50. You have more than 10, but less than 15. It would be 60. And commence pension. Run your pension estimate, and it'll tell you when you're first eligible. It'll kick it out for you. So if you go on there and it says you don't qualify, then it's going to be 62. Because you may not have had, if we ever laid off, well, then you should be able to commence your pension. Oh, yeah, the assistance for education, yeah. It's going to be available. I don't know the details of it. I do not have it in the presentation. The Union Hall has applied for that. And as soon as we get some information, we'll get it out. I'm sorry. Yeah. I think anybody's RIFT. Anybody that's RIFT will qualify for the education. What's your age? 69? 59. Well, yeah, there's a high risk pool, number one, and you have to be turned down or declined. The other option would be, are you going to putt around with another job? Does your wife have health insurance? Well, then you would potentially buy it. I mean, your only options would be then to do... generally speaking, yes, but Community Care may be offering a plan, plus Oklahoma has the high-risk pool plan. I'm not disputing the fact that they play hot potato with no one wants to sit and take the responsibility for answering questions. Yeah, call Deanne, call the Union Hall and hook up with Deanne. We'll get you figured out. Yeah, I mean, I've been dealing with the phone numbers with American for... No, I understand. That's the reason why we're trying to get answers to your questions. Yeah, and I agree because it's 100% frustration. Yeah, come in, talk with the IM. We'll get you taken care of. The answer for dislocated employee, we're applying for it, and as soon as we get it, we'll let you know, the union. Okay, you can talk to unemployment office, and you would potentially qualify for that, and then the union's trying to come up with another plan as well. Should we continue to do flexible benefits? I would probably make sure that you max out what you have in your plan because you would forfeit whatever you would have in the plan if you were separated from the company at that point. If you have a claim, they'll continue to pay it for that calendar year. But if you have any extra monies left in this, in other words, let's say that you're separated next week, you have a claim, you're going to be able to continue that for the balance of the year. But to the extent that you have monies in the plan that you didn't use, then you're going to forfeit those dollars. I would definitely, because you could be here next year. Yeah, but then you probably would want, during open enrollment, you ought to be enrolling for your benefits, most definitely. Yes, that's a different question. Right, but you want to be enrolling for your flexible benefits with respect to your the reimbursement? FSA, you may want to suspend contributions for that. On unemployment, plan on taking the early out and commencing pension? Okay, that's correct. So to the extent that your pension's $1,500 and unemployment's $1,200, you would receive nothing from unemployment. Social Security would count against it as well. Well, active's different. Active is different because you have to have something then in that regard. Yeah, active would be, I would say that if you're, yeah. Generally, I would say that...
That's a good question. Sorry.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. Yeah. Generally, I would say that if you don't pay the premium, you'd be out. Yeah. But you could never get back in. No, it will not come out of your pension. You have to make arrangements with Health First. Yeah, PayFlex, and then credited service. If you're not going to retire, You're going to take the early out but not start the pension. Okay, what's your age? Well, you're not eligible to commence until 55. How many years do you have? Well, you're age 60 then. Yeah, you can. The benefit's frozen. Frozen as of 10/31. Yeah, well, if the question is, am I eligible for the unemployment if I apply for the pension and it takes 60 days to get my pension? Yeah, I would. Yeah, Deanne's doing the analysis correct. I would say that to the extent that you receive the lump sum 2 months or 2 months later, 8 weeks later, that because you received it as a lump sum, that you would not be ineligible for unemployment until the time that you would receive the early out payment, or excuse me, the pension payment. Yeah, I mean, that one I could argue against you, so. Yeah, well, I just said I could argue against you, but I would say we'd want to verify that with unemployment, because the system's basically saying that you have no wages, but in fact, you do. It's just that it was delayed and it was retroactive. Therefore, you were entitled to it. Therefore, you should not have been entitled, or you should have been an offset with respect to your pension to your unemployment. I would say that I wouldn't run the risk of having to pay it back, but you could have to. What I'm saying is that to the extent that the plan, that the pension is retroactive and you file for unemployment, I would assume that you would run the risk of receiving the unemployment benefit, and to the extent that it was determined that you did receive that and you retroactive on the pension, you could potentially have to repay those benefits. Potentially. I don't know the answer to that one. If you can't draw your pension yet, what's your age? 46 and how many years? 46 and 22, 9 years, you're going to be eligible to commence pension. There's nothing for you to do other than sign up for the early out if that's what you're going to do. Just call. Well, I mean, worst case, I mean, hopefully I'm going to be here in 9 years. If not, call H. Yeah, yeah. HR. 800 number. Yeah, that's, yes. A little bit, yes. That's the high risk plan. Yep. And so it's income and it's income based. Insure Oklahoma. That's correct. Yep. And so to the extent that your income is, $25,000 or less for a family or something like that, then okay. Do you have your own business, or are you going to start a? Well, in your situation, if you have your own business, you'd want to go shopping and buy an individual or buy a plan for a one. Are you going to be single employee, self-insured, or a single employer, self-employed? Just go shopping. They cannot deny you coverage, and just go grab a high deductible plan. You're looking at maybe $400. Married and kids. Well, then just be you and spouse. You're probably still looking at about because your spouse, I'm assuming, is going to be eligible, potentially eligible to become pregnant. They're still going to have that contingency on there. So you're still, you could still get a high deductible plan. And if you guys are healthy, you're probably looking about maybe $500 a month or something. Yep. And fully deductible, 100% deductible, huh? As a business expense, health savings account, HSA. Yep, that's where you do your, yeah. And you may want to consider doing that. I would look at your cash flow before doing it, though. Yep, you'll be okay. Give us a call down there and we'll get you set up on that one. Yep. I've got a guy that can help you on the health insurance side. Okay. Yeah, we got some people that can help you do that. Yeah, maximizing the money under the pension. Pension, yeah. What's your age? So you commence pension. So you have 2 years of 2 years of pension benefits that you wouldn't. How many years you been here? 17 years. So you're probably looking at $1,500 a month under the pension. $700 a month? 15? What? That doesn't sound right. How old are you? Oh, you're OSM. Okay. Yeah, that sounds right. So $700 a month, you'd be better off drawing your unemployment. $1,200. Sure, most definitely. That's easy. Yeah, easy math there. Yep. $1,500 a month on a, what is it? Let's say $1,500 a month on unemployment versus $700 pension. Sure. You are right on the right page. Yep. Count against your unemployment. That's my understanding. That's my understanding on Social Security. You might want to call unemployment and just confirm that, but I'm pretty comfortable in saying that that would reduce unemployment benefit. A deferred retirement is you can't commit, you don't commence your pension.
Right.
How many years do you have? So you're eligible to commence pension at 55.
Right.
Okay, so effectively, and you're under the 50-55 rule.
Right.
So basically at 55, you could commence pension.
Okay.
And draw the, and work for another company.
You
just go ahead and retire from the company. You would just resign from the, you would resign under the 50-50. You're going to be, because you're, because of your age and because of the fact that you're between 50 and 55, you're going to resign. You're going
to
be under the 50-55 rule.
Okay, but I don't have to put anything.
You don't have to do anything.
Okay.
They'll know that. If you're not going to take the early out, you don't want to do anything.
Okay.
You want to stay here and choose to leave at a later date.
Okay.
Yeah. And with your 19 years, you're saying, you're, you know, probability is you're going to be here.
Okay.
And you're just going to be looking for something later potentially.
Yeah.
Am I incorrect on any of that? 50-55, as long as you're 50 years of age, but not 55, you're, and you just continue to meet your eligibility requirements for your pension and your retiree medical and your trial, you have to have 15 years. Yep. For RIFT, stay in instead, early out, anything. It's available to anybody. 50-55 is an age issue, and it's based upon credited service. Does that make sense? Well, it depends on what benefit we're talking about.
Travel.
And retiree medical and pension would be credited service. Oh, travel's company seniority. Yeah, company seniority for travel. You have to have 15 years for companies travel. But you would be you'd have to have 10 years.
Is it 10?
Yeah, it's 10 years for travel, but you have to be older than age 50 and but younger than 50. Yeah, so you would be eligible to commence your. If you're eligible to commence your pension, then you would be eligible for your travel. Yeah. If you're eligible to commence pension, you're eligible to commence travel. So it'd be 15 years of credited service. Because you can't commence your pension until 55 and 15 years. Credited service is retirement. Yes. Credited service is continuing to accrue for your retiree medical, your travel, and your pension. But it does not increase your pension, but you increase your retirement service. Yes, good job. You got it. Gentlemen, we're here for you. Appreciate you. Yes, sir.